From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry. If something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Jaran! 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 Jaran!
Hello, welcome back. It's my mate bought a toaster, and literally this week, it is a mate of mine. Actually, to be fair, the last few weeks they've been mates, so I haven't got a very exciting guest list. I just get my friends on, who happen to be exciting, brilliant people. For e.g., Mr. Robin Morgan, wonderful comedian and comedy writer and lovely glasses wearer, and as we can hear in the background, father of two children.
Yeah, can you actually hear them?
Oh yeah, but loving that. It's a bit of colour to the recording, Robin. We love that.
Okay, but I think the colour is currently that I'm in my bedroom recording a podcast while my wife is struggling with two children. So that's the vibe I think we're pushing at the moment.
That is becoming the new source of tension in my marriage. The whole just going upstairs to record a podcast is almost a new euphemism for wanking my career away.
Sure. Okay, good. Well, you know, maybe you could, that is a new podcast.
yeah. Well, I think that's what this is. How is lockdown with two very young? Remind us what your child setup is, Robin.
So my son is nearly three and a half, and my daughter is 9 months old.
Okay.
So it's preschool age, which means that I don't need to do any homeschooling. So it's just, hey, Dougie, 9 to 5.
I like hey, Dougie. And it's great to see Alexander Armstrong getting some work as well. That's
I know,
what I love
bless
about
him. Bless him. it's good. They're of a fun age. If not, I'm so fucking tired.
Okay, good. So this is a good illustration of why I love Robin Morgan, because he is resolutely positive. Now, in the face of this, to bear in mind, I've known Robin for about best part of nearly 10 years, probably by now, maybe a bit less. But at the beginning of knowing you, I just had my eldest son. And I spent the first few years just moaning and whining and whinging and just making Robin realise how awful it is. And now Robin's going through exactly the same thing and he's trying to make it sound good. But you have got three and a half and 9 month old. Beth and I sat down the other day and we tried to work out what is the worst child setup to have during lockdown. And that is literally it, because you've got a baby who doesn't really play with the older one. So you've got to look after the baby. And then you've got the older one who's just at an age, anything over three, they want friends, they want life outside the house, and you can't quite explain what's going on. So Robin, you've got the worst combo, we've decided.
Thank you so much. That's really kind. the gorgeous thing, I mean, like, I think you're right, but equally with a three-year-old, we're in lockdown. He's got no friends. He's not allowed to leave the house. So it's just us.
Oh God! But you're his friends. That makes it even more exhausting.
I'm his best mate. It's great.
Oh well, it's nice that you finally got a friend, to be honest.
Yeah, that's exactly. I thought that's what this podcast was. Find a friend.
So this podcast is Find Out the Truth About Robin Morgan by Diving Into Your Amazon Purchase History. It's a catchy title for a podcast. So we go back to the beginning. Now, 2010 was when you first made orders on Amazon. That's when you opened your account anyway. But interestingly, you made zero orders placed in 2010.
Oh, that's interesting. So maybe I just sort of made an account to kind of impress someone.
Yeah.
All the cool kids were doing it. Log into your Amazon. So 2010 would have been either my final year of uni or I just graduated.
Okay.
So I was in the process of trying to move to London. Signed.
Where were you? Where did you live at this stage?
Cardiff Uni. Yeah. And then had a room and deposit paid for a room in a flat in Tooting, and then pulled out 10 days before because I was fully in my overdraft, had no job, and thought it was unwise, and also was in a six-month relationship with my now wife, and that almost certainly would have ended.
God.
So proper crossroads thing, and I really thank Amazon for helping me with it.
For making you stay where you were. Wow, okay. Well, no orders were made, but you were spending all your time browsing. Imagine using Amazon as some sort of 2010 Instagram. You know, instead of hanging out with your friends, you just hang out with products.
Well, maybe I was just using it to search for affordable rent in London and just didn't know what the website was.
It's the one thing Amazon hasn't got. Fucking hell.
How long, when did it start?
Amazon, late 90s is when you see the
really?
First orders. Yeah. We had Matt Green has got the earliest so far, because it's an archaeological dig, this show. Matt Green bought a book about Martin Amos in 1999. Sure. But also Jen Brister bought a book about coming out in 1999 as well. So, because Jen Brister's actually lesbian, I don't know if you knew that.
When did she come out?
Around 1999, around there.
Oh, okay,
there.
Finished the book, and then...
Yeah, she put the book down and went, holy shit!
Man.
I think I like girls. No, not man. Girls.
Sure.
Girls. Well, 2011, May 2011, the 25th of May, you finally dive into Amazon and you go shopping. You get One Day by David Nichols. That's a great book, isn't it? I love that book.
Never read it.
Oh, dude. Oh, I mean, again, this is a running theme in this show. The number of times I say, oh, this is good, and the guest just goes, no, mate, just bought it on Amazon.
I think
might as well have put it in a bin.
I mean, I literally picked it up a couple of days ago because we were unpacking stuff for the house we've just moved into. So it's currently sat in a stack of books. Almost certainly none of them I've read. But because I read on my Kindle now. So it looks nice in all these Zoom meetings. It looks very impressive when everyone's got those bookshelves. But it's just like, come on, mate. Just pop one Kindle up on a bare bookshelf.
What you should do, bare bookshelf sounds like I got bare bookshelves, bro. What you should do is take a screenshot of your Kindle, of the thing, because you know the image of your Kindle bookshelf, the digital bookshelf, is quite nice now. They've made it look quite user friendly. It looks quite pretty. Take a screenshot of that and use that as your Zoom background.
Oh, that's a nice idea. I've just been writing books on MS Paint and just sort of putting that behind me.
Books. Well, you bought lots of books. You bought One Day, which you haven't read. Kill Your Friends by John Niven, which you
I have read that.
He's brilliant, John Niven. He'd be a good guest on this, actually.
Well, let's not try and sort of book other people while I'm still on the podcast. Sorry. <on.
laughs> There was a danger in the intonation there. He'd be a good guest. And The Dice Man by Luke Reinhardt. Now, someone bought me The Dice Man and I've never read it, so have you read it?
No, my best friend was telling me about it. I think at one point he was trying to live his life like it, like by rolling a dice and things, and I really like things like Yes Man and that kind of idea. I think I bought it. I haven't unpacked that in the move, so that I've almost certainly borrowed that, lent that to somebody, and it has gone missing.
It's a nice idea, though, that you roll, you lead your life rolling a dice. The problem I've got with it is that rarely can I think of six different options for things.
Yeah, you know? That's true. I mean,
go out. That's one of the other ones.
go out for longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leave my wife. Oh, God, I've rolled a three.
Sorry, bye, Beth, darling. It was a three. You can't argue with it.
Well, it's a good job you weren't playing this game in 2010 when you had just started seeing Jen, because otherwise your children wouldn't exist.
Well, exactly. So when did you say the first order was?
May 2011.
So yeah. I would have just moved into a flat with Jen. That was sort of like April 2011.
You shacked up very young together, didn't you?
Yeah, and we weren't even Christian or pregnant.
You just liked each other.
Just liked each other, just the weird way.
That's so weird. Imagine, that's so modern.
But like, we both graduated in 2010, and then, like I said, I was going to move to London and didn't, so we stayed dating, and then I wanted to move out of my parents' house, and Jen said, well, we can move in together, and it honestly hadn't even crossed my mind that I could live with a girl. I was like, well, I'll just move in with one of my shit house male friends, and she was like, oh, no, we could get a place together, and so we would have been like 21.
Yeah. God, did you ever sort of consciously think that you'd jump into domesticity like that so quickly? Because I always knew Beth and I moved in together when I was 22, I think, so pretty much the same-ish age. And I just knew I wanted to do that. I was not very good at flatmates and blokes everywhere. I just wanted to be with just me and someone else in a relationship. That was all I wanted, really.
Yeah, I think Blokes Everywhere is something that sounds quite fun. I didn't. I mean, it wasn't a plan in any way. I just kind of like went with the flow with stuff. But I always wanted kids quite young.
Did you? Why?
I think vividly because I remember my dad telling me one day that he couldn't play football with me anymore because his back hurt, and I was like, well, this is not okay. This is bullshit. Oh. So I was like, well, I'm going to have kids young so I can play football all the time. And now I say to my son, oh, my back hurts. So I, just, so I don't think it's age. I think it's having children and bending over constantly. So all I've done now is push that pain forward about a decade.
Yeah. That's all exactly right. You can have kids at 16, but you'll still be a 45-year-old within a year.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Is exactly what happened.
Birkenstocks at 18.
Oh my God. We had Jen Brister last week, double Birkenstocks.
Really? Not for, no, for second and third purchase. Came out, Birkenstocks.
Basically how it went, yeah. All right, let's skip ahead to 2012 now,
okay.
Robin. Oh, we got some classic My Mate Bought a Toaster. Some old friends of the show. An HDMI cable. Oh, yes, please. A mini DVI to VGA adapter cable for Apple Mac. I mean, this is absolutely lovely. That's all you bought. 2012, buy cables.
Sure. I'll
put that in your autobiography.
It was a big cable year. so that would be, so I'd have just got a new TV. Which I've only just replaced in the last week, so that stayed with me for 8 years. That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. And that's a responsible use of, you know, precious metals and non-renewable things. Quite right too.
Thank you so much. That would have been. I know exactly why basically, I wanted to connect my Mac to my TV because I was making a lot of music in GarageBand at the time.
Oh, yeah,
and my friends and I had all graduated and all worked at the Glee Comedy Club. I basically hired all my friends.
Right.
So we used to hang out on my flat, day drinking, rapping into GarageBand.
Oh, God. Oh, I just bristled with cringe. Yeah, keep going.
There are about 6 or 7 songs that we made that will never see the light of day.
Oh, no, please, can we listen to what, a little bit?
No. I'm not sure if you know what the phrase cancelled means, but I would be cancelled.
One thing
I do remember is that we were quite pissed, and it was when the phrase YOLO was quite sort of fresh, quite new. I thought it would be really funny to pitch an idea to Iolo Ap Dafydd, the Welsh explorer presenter. Basically, just like, I didn't really realise what Twitter was back then. I just tweeted him saying, just like, hey, it'd be really funny if you presented this idea. And he replied saying, ha ha ha, you should be a comedian. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we spent the next 2 days writing a rap about Iolo Ap Dafydd and how the earth is our one shot and we've got to protect the planet, and sent it to him, and he never responded.
That's amazing. So it's because of Iolo Ap Dafydd that you became a comedian. So we've got him to thank.
I think so, but then I think I was doing like open mic gigs up until that point. But
right.
But arguably was not a comedian. Arguably, I'm still not.
Mate, let's just lay the blame firmly at Iolo Ap Dafydd's feet.
Fine.
I think that was what. But also, I like the idea of you determinedly sort of, you know, you've got, on one hand, you've got this domesticity, you've grown up and you're thinking about kids, but at the same time, you're day drinking and you're making rap music with your new band, Me Too.
Yeah.
Sound great.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think stand-up has definitely allowed me to sort of settle down earlier because I still have the kind of, I'm still out most weekends. Like, I hated nightclubs and things. So I never really enjoyed the going outside of it, but I still get to experience that and the kind of dicking around and being silly for my job, and I think that's helped. And also the fact that me and Jen we're ships in the night occasionally, so I think it does keep things relatively fresh.
I was about to say keep things exciting. Yeah, spicy. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
I see. Oh, quickly, under the stairs, let's go. I know exactly what you mean as well. And this is it's counterintuitive because you think stand-ups are crazy rock and roll, and loads of stand-ups are. But there's a huge number of us who settle down really early because by going out and going around and travelling and doing all the stand-up, we're sort of exercising that youthfulness constantly. So we don't really need to do it at home as well. It's like our job is being young idiots.
Yeah, totally. And I think you need that kind of someone to ground you as well in like a proper job. Like I never, like my wife's a teacher, and I think mainly because she knows how to look after immature people. But I think it's, but a lot of comics date teachers.
Yes, they do, don't they? It's the patience.
I think so, genuinely. I sometimes thought, but oh, it'd be nice if you dated another comic because you sort of knew the industry, but it would be dreadful.
Awful. I used to live with two comics who were going out together, and they used to sit in the daytime. They'd watch Cash in the Attic and get annoyed when the other one got booked for gigs. It was a disaster.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, that's gross. Yeah.
Gross. Okay, good. All right, so you're happily married. You're happily out there doing your stand-up, thanks to Yerlo Abdavid, who changed your life. That's now become the narrative of this show.
Sure.
Okay, Robin, for the purposes of this.
Well, genuinely, you helped immeasurably in my career, Tom.
Oh, I'd like to hear that, because I like anything where I sound good.
Yeah, there's
not enough of that.
Because we met when? Like 2012, 2013. So it would have been around...
Yeah.
So basically, you writing on your radio show stopped me day drinking.
Mate, I'm pretty sure you were drinking.
Oh, yeah. I was. Well, but no, but it's sort of like as soon as we put the script in, then I got on the Thirsty Ferrets.
Yeah, that's true. I can confirm that.
Yeah. But you let me live in your house when I moved to London eventually. Yeah, I live... You were in Edinburgh.
Did I?
Well, I think so.
What?
Check your Amazon account. Around 2014, there was a lot of stuff.
Oh, so 2014, when I went to Edinburgh.
So
yes, because Beth went up to her parents.
Correct. So we were sort of weirdly house-sitting for you.
Yes.
So for the first 2 weeks that me and Jen moved to London in 2014, we lived in your lovely house, which gave us a rather silly sense of what living in London was like.
Well, my friend is very good friends with Alan Davis, another person who you know, he would be a good guest on this
show.
Yeah,
he would. I think so. Oh, imagine if you're talking to him right now. That would be great. I wish I was talking to him.
At least I can do that with you, but there are other guests I've had this series where I've done that, and I thought, oh, that's really rude. But you're a mate, so it's fine. But Alan Davis, friend, very good friends of mine, very, very good friends with him, and he's one of the nicest, most generous, ridiculously generous people, right? That is just a fact. And he let her live in his amazing house for about 2 months when he was away in Australia, years and years and years ago. And a much more exaggerated version of what you had living here. Because I live in a very small house, but Alan Davis had a ridiculously massive house. And she had to live there while her tiny flat was being done up. So she had 2 months basically living in a palace. And then she had to go back to her tiny, tiny box.
Man, it's like sort of your first pad is like being evicted into something.
Oh, God, it's a depressing beginning. Well, you definitely don't have that here. Now I'm worried that I made out that I live in a palace. Oh, God, this analogy's gone all wrong.
It was shit. Listener, his house is awful and dirty.
Thank you. Thanks, mate. Thanks. No one's proud to live in a nice house. We're so British. In America, I'd be going, yeah, you're right. And I have a pool, Robin. Tell them about my pool.
Do you have a paddling pool at the moment?
Yeah, we do actually. Oh yeah, we bought a paddling pool, and I miscalculated the dimensions, and now instead of a backyard, we have a back paddling pool.
Well,
it's
that's
enormous.
Fine. Mm. Well, has it got? Is it just the sort of circular thing, or has it got sort of little flair? Has it got sort of quirks to it?
It's a rectangle.
Okay.
It's deep. It's very hard to blow up. They don't come with little sort of bike pump fittings. It's like a fitting the size of a probably like a tennis ball, like a big round thing. You've got to find a special hook to go on it. And I thought I was pumping up the bottom. I thought the bottom was inflated. And it took me ages and ages and ages until I realized that I was blowing air into the plug hole, which actually was how you get rid of the water.
I did exactly the same thing.
Did you really?
I was there with an electric pump.
Yes!
Which then overheated and spent the majority of the time that it had power for just blowing air into the grass. just warming up the grass on one of the hottest days of the year.
Yeah, so I did the other day as well. Oh my God, the pitfalls of being an idiot dad. We've done exactly the same thing. And did you have the kids saying, Daddy, is it ready? Daddy, is it ready?
Yeah, I was like, go inside, darling. Go inside. So trying to not get too angry so our new neighbours don't think I'm an awful fucking parent.
Yeah, that's something that really, I'm very conscious of how I come across as a parent to my neighbours. Now, it's not saying that I'm broadcasting top dad. You know that thing where people do broadcast parenting, where they do all their parenting for the benefit of the adults nearby. Come on, darling. You know that sort of
thing. It's on the tube, it's lots, isn't it? Oh, darling.
Yes,
you dropped your chickpeas.
Yes, it's so disgusting. You did that when we went skiing.
Yeah.
I hate that sort of thing. But at the same time, being in the garden, especially where we are, lots and lots of people nearby. And when I get annoyed with them, and I did have a proper rage the other day, like screaming. How are you finding that? How do you control what the neighbours are picking up of your abusive relationship with your kids?
Yeah. A lovely question. Thank you. Not a leading question in the slightest. I don't know. I think... It is hard, isn't it? I feel like I have less patience with my daughter than I do with my son, weirdly. But I think this is because my son was getting to the age where he was sleeping through the night, and we used to go and have brunch together. Like, it was, and now my daughter, and I love her dearly, but she sleeps like a prick. And,
oh, good, you've got a bad sleeper.
Oh, she's awful. She was great at the start, and now we were quite smug. And now it's just gone to shit, mate.
I'm absolutely thrilled, because I remember explaining this to you with Wilfred. He didn't sleep for more than 3 hours for the first 4 years of his life.
Yeah, I think that's what we're in at the moment.
Oh, no.
But it's okay, because like my son's waking up at 5:15 every morning anyway, so I'm already up, Tom. So don't worry about it.
And at least live comedy's in good shape at the moment during the lockdown.
Well,
so that's great.
Weirdly, I'm glad that it's not, because can you imagine getting in from like a gig in Barnstaple at 3 a.m. and then having to get up in 2 hours?
I mean, I literally can, because that's what I did. There was about a year where I was still very heavily doing stand-up, and Wilfred was doing that. In fact, more than that, probably about 2 years. I tell you what was strange about that, though, was that my stand-up got immeasurably better, because I just didn't give a fuck. I was going on stage on the brink of a nervous breakdown.
Sure.
And it was falling out my mouth, and it got really good because of it.
Did you think that you should just have more and more kids and become like...
No, I
will win the Perrier if I become Octodad.
Octodad is the great name. Is a great name for a Perrier winning show. That would be really good.
It's just six more kids, mate. It's in your power.
It's not in my power. It's in my pants, and it's not coming out.
That's what I call your pants.
All right. Is that what the book The Power is actually about? It's a pair of pants. Is there no more? I want. Is there no more? If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door. Can't face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
I don't want to hear no more crying. Just come on, let me know what you've been buying.
All right, let's move on to 2014. Robin Morgan, stand-up comedian, a fantastic writer, and he's buying all sorts of books that he's not reading, such as Alan Turing, The Enigma, the book that inspired the film The Imitation.
I didn't buy that, did I?
Yeah, you bought that in December 2014. So we're at a Christmas sort of time here. Maybe this is a present.
Oh, it could be. I said I've just moved to London. Around that point, just getting engaged, December 2014.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, is there a good story about getting engaged? Did you maybe build an Edinburgh show around it?
Slightly did, Tom. Why not?
I've got
nothing but the things that other people have done to my life. That's all I can talk about. The story is, so me and my now wife, spoiler alert, went to New York. I bought the ring maybe like 2 months before. Made sure I put it in my backpack rather than my suitcase, because I was like, absolutely what is going to happen is my suitcase is going to get lost. I'm not going to have the ring. I'm not going to be able to propose. So then we get off the plane, get into an Uber, drive to the Airbnb. I leave my backpack in the back of the taxi with the ring in it, which then drives off.
You are joking.
So I then can't tell Jen why I'm so bothered about the bag. I try and get the Uber. Like, so luckily it was Uber, because I had like the driver's details. I leave him a voicemail. The next day, Gemma's like, "What do you want to do? What do you want to do?" And I was like, "I want to get my fucking bag back."
Yeah, what do you want to do? Why are you crying? Is it the emotion of New York? Yeah, I'm just overwhelmed by the high buildings.
So like we had this sort of day planned, and I was just going around just being a grumpy piece of shit, thinking that like, so if you are going to propose today, she's going to think, "Do I want to spend the rest of my life with this fucking awful person?" Then the Uber driver calls me back and says, "Should we meet here?" And I was like, "Amazing, great, got the ring." About to propose to my wife, turn to her, and she gets down onto one knee and proposes to me, and she'd been planning it at the same time, but she hadn't lost the ring.
Oh my god. So you did a double, you both double lunged at each other.
Yeah. It was like a sort of high intensity workout in the park.
That's fucking amazing. That is so delightful. And had she twigged the reason you were stressed is because you put the ring, left the ring in the back of an Uber?
No, I don't think so. Like, but we then sort of went to a bar. We tried to go into a certain bar and they wouldn't let me in because I wasn't wearing a jacket. I was like, I don't care, mate. I got fucking engaged. and then we went to another cocktail bar, got shit-faced and basically sort of had a debrief of like, how was yours? How was your proposal? How was my proposal? It was really lovely. And then I did a show about it in Edinburgh in 2016. And then I used the ring that she got me as a prop. Like when people came in, it was like a spotlight was on the ring box.
Yeah.
And then one day packing up the show, I was legging it to a friend's show and left that ring in the back of an Edinburgh taxi and never got it back.
I mean, it is literally like the ring from Lord of the Rings. It doesn't want to be with you.
Absolutely, I know. So my wife had to like... So I didn't wear an engagement ring. It seems like it was me trying to get out of it.
Fucking hell. 2015 then. Hello, 2015. Here we are. No kids as yet at this point. Is that true?
That is true. We are... True. Yeah, no kids, no pregnancies, just engaged. Trying to move out of a shared house into our own flat in London.
Nice. Okay. So we've got things like, oh, this is nice. Like a milestone camping AC electric air pump. Now that's either to go camping with, or I'm going to suggest to blow up an inflatable bed.
That is the inflatable bed, which probably one of our mothers was staying on in our new flat, I reckon.
Oh, classic.
Well,
classic.
We're not the kind of people to give up our own bed, but you can.
No.
But mum, close to retirement, you can sleep on the floor.
You've worked a hard life. Get on the floor.
Walk
get
up on. These four flights of stairs without a lift and sleep on
get,
the floor.
Get on, and then when you wake up, look after my children.
Yes. Well,
that's very much still to come. All right, so 2015, starting to settle down. 2016. Now, look, I'm going to suggest 2016 is when the baby arrived because we go 2015, there's like 10 orders over the year. 2016, 48 orders. Is that right?
So 2016 would be... No, buying, so moving into our own, like we bought a shared ownership flat in London. So this would be actually owning a house for the first time, which probably meant we had to get loads of like, what one of the first unfurnished places.
Yes, okay,
But also, we did get pregnant in, my son was conceived in May 2016.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Let's look at the detail of this. Hang on. Well, look, Robin, March 2016, you've bought the Clear Blue Digital Ovulation Test Kit.
Hey, there we go.
Pack of 10. There you go.
They came in handy.
So those were used. Those were deployed.
They weren't
May.
Used. Jen used them. They weren't a used item when they arrived. Let's piss on these tests.
You purchased 3 times you bought these.
Yeah, so, we got pregnant on the 3rd month of trying.
Okay, all right, okay. Not bad. That's pretty good, isn't it?
It's very, very good, very lucky.
I just want to see if there's reviews. I've got distracted now. Yeah, you can write reviews of this product.
This is so fascinating to kind of like find out my history through. It's like, it's such a good idea for a podcast, this. It's so interesting.
Thanks, mate. I mean, what's annoying is that, and what's lovely is that almost every episode, I mean, certainly last 2 weeks, Jen Brister did it, Nick Helm said it, halfway, Kerry Godleman was really like, just spent most of the podcast going, this is an amazing idea. And obviously I'm like, I'm thrilled, but at the same time annoyed because it was my wife's idea.
Well, she's a very clever lady, Tom. The sooner you understand that, the better.
Yeah, I know. I've worked it out.
I remember on your, I'm sure we talked about this, but do you know that on your Wikipedia page, it says you invented Woven's Perfect Recall?
No, it says that she did.
No, I'm sure it says that you did.
No, it says that I'm married to Beth Morrie, who invented Woven's Perfect Recall, which is true,
right,
she did.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't taken the credit for Woven's Perfect Recall.
I don't know whether someone has edited it to take out is married to Beth Morrie.
hang on, I haven't looked at my own Wikipedia. This is supposed to be about you anyway, not me for God's sake, but I'm now checking.
I'm sure it says that because I always found that very, very funny.
It does. He is married to producer Beth Morrie, most noted for being the creator of hit Channel 4 quiz format Woven's Perfect Recall and for portraying Andy Davidson in Torchwood. No, she didn't portray Andy Davidson in Torchwood. That's weird.
That's a shame. I thought, sorry.
No. What's weird about this is that my wife is now slightly more well noted than being the creator of Channel 4 quiz format Woven's Perfect Recall.
Would you like to check again?
Oh, God. Tom Price is most noted for being the creator of hit Channel 4 quiz format Wogan's Perfect Recall.
You're welcome.
Andy
Davis. You're very welcome.
Let's leave it. Let's leave it there.
Congrats, pal.
Thanks, mate. I did really well out of that. Shame I can't get any more series commissioned. Can't work out why they won't recommission that. Anyway,
hey, I think this podcast that you created the idea of is also very good.
This is really sweet, though. Look at this. So the reviews of the Clear Blue ovulation test. You know, they do a thing where Amazon pick out the most used words and phrases over the course of all the different reviews.
Oh, and right. Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those sort of paintings you can get off from B&M Bargains, where you sort of, if you see these things that you can put in like all your favourite words, and it gives you like a big sort of art splash of all the words.
Yeah, no, I've not seen that. That's an amazing idea.
It's nice.
Well, it is that. Yeah, and what's really lovely is it's got things like get pregnant, fingers crossed, good luck, got a smiley, trying for a baby, waste of money.
I mean, yeah, that, I mean, it does sum up the entire experience of it, because those are ovulation tests rather than pregnancy tests. So it's like, piss on this, and then it'll tell you when's the best time to shag. I think that's their tagline on the back of the box.
I'm gonna review it on your behalf. Do you mind?
No, go for it. I'm not sure if I've ever reviewed anything on Amazon.
Well, it's about to begin your career as an Amazon reviewer. Accuracy 5 stars.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Easy to use 5 stars. Easy to read 5 stars. Add a headline. Smashed it.
Piss sticks.
Piss sticks.
Piss sticks.
Write your review. I was going to say, really fun to use. My wife had a go too.
Nice, perfect.
Tricky to sell on after use, though.
Hit me up on Facebook Marketplace.
Good. Here we go into 2017, and then the madness of the child begins. In 2017, you bought 61 things on Amazon over the course of the year.
Vasectomy.
You sold your balls in a jar. Electric breast pump.
Yes.
That's for you, or did you lactate? Because it does happen.
That's a sharing present. Yeah, that would have been, was it a Modelo one? Medela?
Yeah, sure.
That's good. We've just been I think we've just put that away recently for the second one. So these things have a good shelf life.
Yeah, when they get you. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully put away forever, or maybe a third. Maybe you're going.
No. I was genuinely going to have a vasectomy this year, but now I feel like I can't go to the NHS during this pandemic and say, "Can you cut my dick off, please?"
Okay, first things first. I don't think a vasectomy is removal of the penis.
No, that's what I want.
Oh, you want the full thing taken off? Oh, right, okay. Fine, okay.
Belt and braces.
Just get in there, get rid of it. So Robin Morgan will be transitioning. Well, we've got our headline from the podcast today. That's ideal. Good to know. Yes, you're doing two and out as well, are you? Because we've done that.
Two and done, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There was the way I told Beth we were doing that was by when Edmund was old enough to go out of the cot, I smashed the cot to pieces.
Oh, so nice. Okay, good.
Made it very clear. Never again!
I'm sure that was a lovely, yes, a very powerful statement.
look, here it is, February 2017. We get this every time there's a parent. The Sleepyhead Deluxe Pod, £75 for a cushion.
Yeah, we very nearly bought the £200 version last week for my daughter because we just thought if we can just kind of essentially force her to stay still in the night, maybe that'll work. But we did thought that maybe £200 for something that might not work was a silly idea.
But you do try and solve, and I do worry about some of these products because they are people. We're so vulnerable and mad when we have kids that don't sleep. If someone said £300, it's a USB stick, and you pop it in, and all your kids will go to sleep straight away, I'd spend £300 on it. Like, I would absolutely do it.
Well, you gave us a little cheat sheet of items that we should get that I think your wife wrote. You said,
yeah, she does the writing in this house. Yeah.
and the ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. True story.
So we basically followed that to the letter. And then you gave us things as well, like that sort of that next to you crib. Do you remember?
God, I'm coming across really, or we're coming across really well in this podcast.
Good, I'm
this
glad.
Is a great advert for Tom Price. Oh, look, Durex Pleasure Me ribbed and dotted condoms.
So that would be Jen still breastfeeding, which obviously is kind of like contraception, but almost certainly isn't. And that was very much a, we are not getting pregnant yet.
hold, take that. Yes, okay, good.
Those are my moves.
That's dirty talk for Robin. hold. Ribbed and dotted, though. Nice. Dotted? What, just is that just a decoration?
Yeah, Doc Cotton's face on them. Helps me go longer.
Forget extra thick condoms. Just slap a picture of Doc Cotton on it and you will go for hours.
You got the Doc Cotton and the Pat Butchers. That's what you got.
Do you think back on 2017 as a happy year? You must do, when all the child owning begins.
Yeah, it was that, and then also I started working at Radio 4 for a year, so that was like the most sort of adult year of my life, because I actually had like a proper job for a year.
You were smashing it out of the park. You got the Radio 4 bursary thing, didn't you?
The bursary, yeah. So as soon as I came back from Edinburgh in 2016, I think I came back to London on a Monday, and on the Tuesday I started work. And then had 4 months working there. My son was born. Then had 2 weeks paternity leave, which as a self-employed person is absolute bonkers.
Gotcha.
And then had another 6 weeks of writing jokes about Brexit with 2 hours sleep.
Wow. But again, there's the danger with that bursary thing of the staying in someone's house before moving back into your own. It's like you get an amazing year where you're like, oh, I've got a job and it's just great and there's people, and suddenly I'm self-employed and oh holy shit, all over again.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was I think because they gave me an extra month at the start and an extra month at the end, so I feel like I was ready to, luckily had other jobs afterwards, and I was kind of moonlighting a little bit at Radio 4, where occasionally I'd be like, can I leave an hour early today, because I was going to do warm up on Blind Date. So I used to turn up in a suit to write in the office and then go and sort of just like flirt with Paul O'Grady for a couple of hours. So it was that was a mint year, actually. 2017 was really, really good.
Warm up on Blind Date, what a gig.
It was, I found it really hard. I got replaced after a while, but I went on as a writer instead, because like warm up for certain shows, as you know, like stand up like comedy shows, is basically just a gig, isn't it? It's just
yeah, you just do stuff. Well, doing Have I Got News For You, you're going to do a bit of chat, do a bit of stand up, and you're good, because the audience are expecting gaggedy gag gag gag.
Yeah, totally. And with Norton, it's just chat, because they've come to see a chat show and it's like they're already excited because they're finally in the Graham Norton show.
Everyone knows the easiest gig in the world is warm up for Graham Norton, right? Everyone in the comedy world, I should say, knows that the easiest gig in the world is Graham Norton warm up. You go on, you have an audience who adore the fact they're there, they can't believe they're there. You do about 6 minutes, most of which is oi oi woohoo, and then on comes Graham Norton and you leave, or you get to stay and hang out in the green room. It is a sweet dreamy gig. Maybe not so much for Blind Date.
Blind Date, I think, was harder because the audience was older. They were very, we miss Cilla, you know? And you were like, we haven't got Cilla, which is a bit strange. But also, as a show, it's a bit more end of the pier. So, like,
yes, that's yes. Okay.
So the warm up for who did it for the two series after that is really good, but would sing songs and do like silly games and things, which isn't really my style.
No, you do puppetry of the penis stuff, don't you?
I do. I get Doc Cotton out, and I do a windmill with Doc.
All right, let's have a look over here in April 2018. Robin Morgan, the man of many side hustles, we now know. He's doing warm-up, he's writing, he's a brilliant stand-up comic on the circuit. You've bought CJ, the autobiography of CJ... how do you say that surname? CJ Demoo.
CJ Demooey.
Demooey. My journey from the streets to the screens. Tell us about CJ Demooey.
So CJ Demooey is one of the eggheads, one of the, I think, original egghead quizzes on the TV show. So I was on Eggheads in 2010 with my university student newspaper team. And I'm not sure if you're aware of the show, but basically whoever wins, it's like a series of head-to-heads, and then in the final round, however many of the quizzes face however many of the contestants, all my team lost. So I was versus all five of the eggheads, and I took it to sudden death and then lost and very nearly won £23,000.
Oh, shit.
That's the prelude to it. I found something in the studios after we lost, which was a CD recorded by one of the Eggheads by Chris Hughes, who's the sort of he's the guy who looks like he loves trains because he loves trains.
Right.
And the CD was called I Should Have Known Better, and it's apt because it's all covers, including Afro Man, Because I Got High.
Oh, and my God.
It's the most amazing thing. So I did this show about, well, I ended my first half hour Edinburgh show with it in 2015.
Yes.
And I saw that CJ was doing a book signing across the road. So I went and said, by the way, I'm talking about Eggheads in my stand-up show, you should come along. He came to see it. We went out for a drink afterwards. I saw his play that night that he was directing and producing and acted. And then I never bought the book on the day, but then I thought I should, and B, it kind of got into the press a little bit that a passage in the book was quite sort of controversial in terms of, I think there was a suggestion that when he lived in Holland, he pushed a homeless person into a canal.
What?
He denies it. And I should be very, very, like, we're Facebook friends, me and CJ.
Yeah.
So,
but he's courted controversy a bit, hasn't he, every now and again?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like on Eggheads, he was sort of like the bad boy. Which I think, you know, he's a very intelligent man. He was always very nice to me. So I bought the book in case I ever wanted to do the stand-up about the whole thing. Like, I've got pictures of on the phone of him. We played chess in the bar afterwards, my show, and he beat me in 9 moves.
Oh, so he has got a brain on
he's
him.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
Wow. So Robin Morgan, and look at this, look how you're brushing with the stars. So far we found out, you know, you're a breeder, you're not Cilla Black, but you can play chess with CJ Demui. It is amazing.
Thank
Robin.
You for what? Summing up the first 29 years of my life in the way that I would have wanted.
That's what I want to do. All right, now, before we finish today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, what we're going to do is go for the last few months, okay, and have a look and see what you've been buying. Now, obviously, there's a lockdown theme here, so that helps. You can, anything's forgivable. Although, a bit weird that on the 15th of May, you've bought a Wales flag. You've moved back to Wales.
I have moved back to Wales, and as is law here, you all when we come out of lockdown, we need to raise the flag high. So this was for an online charity gig I was doing, and I used it to drape behind me during the show.
Okay.
Forgot to do it, so it sat next to me throughout the entire recording. But then after the show, we had a big debrief of all the people involved, and I draped it around my shoulders like I was Gareth Bale and just won the Champions League.
Well, quite right too. But at least you've got that now. It means you are allowed to stay in Wales.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
Sort of bought your passport. And when you go out on the streets of Wales, you either go out naked or you wear that.
I so, can use that as a face mask, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Oh, God, that's only a matter of time, isn't it? That's only a matter of time. Okay, let's see what else you bought in the last few weeks. A round waste paper basket bin.
Yeah, mate. I'm looking at it now. It needs taking out. I have just moved into... So 3 weeks into lockdown, we moved house. So a lot of the stuff...
You've just bought loads of bins. You've just bought a Brabantia Sort and Go food waste caddy. You've bought a 80-litre capacity outdoor waterproof garbage rubbish bin. And you've bought a waste paper basket bin.
It's been big on bins, mate. It's been big on bins. But the thing is, we've come from like a small flat in London, which we couldn't sell. So I kept some stuff there for in case a tenant ever moves in. So then when we moved back to Cardiff, we had nothing. So it was like starting from scratch, which is nice because it means that we don't have like the IKEA furniture I've had since I was like a spermatozoa.
Yes.
But it does mean that like, and this is the thing with lockdown though, like so many, because Amazon wasn't delivering, like I didn't regard myself as kind of like a vulnerable person. So I was trying not to use Amazon so other people could use Amazon.
Yeah.
But then there are only so few places that are open to get stuff.
Yeah, so, I know.
So I haven't actually used it. Like, have people used Amazon more in lockdown than me, or am I quite high up?
People have used it loads more. In the last couple of weeks, I think, don't worry about it. No need for guilt. In the first 3 or 4 weeks, we hardly used it at all for that exact reason, for that sense of, no, it's wrong. And also didn't really want to put anyone at risk as well in terms of drivers getting near the kids or anything and blah. And then the last 3 weeks or so, it's just been like, business as usual, fuck that shit.
Prime.
I'm prepared to take that risk. I need some vitamins on Prime now. Go!
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting to see Argos there's an Argos in the big Sainsbury's by us, which is now our closest shop. So that has been used a lot, the click and collect there. So if there's ever an Argos-based spin-off podcast, then
I'll absolutely do that. Thank you very much. Well, I've got to wait for Beth to have the idea before I do that.
Sure, I'll text her. My name is
Toaster. Robin Morgan, I've really, really enjoyed doing this episode with you because I know you well, but I feel like I know you even better now, which is good. Apart from the dot-com incident, is a really good. We've got a good level of intimacy now. I like that.
I feel like that's exactly what we would have talked about years ago, mate. I'm surprised that you weren't helping me purchase them.
Yeah, that's true. You can just borrow my dot condoms. The final item that I want to leave you on and leave everyone with the image of Robin Morgan, this guy who's, you know, started out moving in with his girlfriend, having nearly gone to Tooting. Wow. That was close, wasn't it? The man who nearly went to Tooting. That's what we could call this episode. But he rolled the dice and he stuck, and now here he is, he's back in Wales with this beautiful kids, wonderful wife, and he's bought on the 14th of April the Tree Bud Kids TP Play Tent. And it feels, Robin, I've just got this image of leaving you in your tent with your children, maybe the flag there, maybe you're rubbing the flag in your children's faces to teach them about aggressive nationalism, I don't know.
That tent is wicked. I love the tent. It's so good. Although, as you can probably see by all the pictures, it suggests there's a floor mat included. And there absolutely isn't.
Oh, mate, do you know what? We should write a review because I look at that and I just think lovely. The floor mat is what makes it.
I almost did. And then realised that a lot of people have also complained about that. So I thought, leave them be. Leave them be.
Overall rating then, out of 5 stars, what would you give it?
I'd say 4.
Easy to assemble out of 5?
I found it really easy, yeah, but I took it down the other day and there's a little sort of cog in it, which I don't know where it goes, and now it just occasionally drops and it's made of wood and metal. So it just occasionally drops on our heads.
It's nice to have a bit of jeopardy when you're in a tent.
A bit of pedal.
Sturdiness out of 5.
Well, it's very sturdy, Tom.
5. Quality of material. This is obviously, this is the tent, not your stand-up. Lol.
Thanks, Tom. It's very strong, mate. 5.
Okay, so you've been very nice here. They've add a headline. What's most important to know, Robin?
About the tent or just in life?
about the tent, please.
No floor mat.
No floor mat. Is Matt spelt with a double T, or is that the person Matt? Or I just.
If you could put no floor, comma, MATT.
Yeah, no floor, comma, and I'll give M a capital.
Yeah,
no floor,
that'd be
Matt.
Nice.
And I'm going to say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
I love this tent, but...
Loathe,
yeah.
The lack of mat action.
Lack of mat action. Okay.
You're sincerely...
Yeah.
Matt.
Sincerely, Matt. It's really nice. It says, your view. Hi, Matt. I love this tent, but loathe the lack of mat action. Yours sincerely, Matt.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Oh, that's really nice. What a lovely note to leave this on. Robin Morgan, thank you so much for doing My Mate Bought a Toaster. And, you've exposed yourself. You've exposed your shopping listery, and we have discovered you are a good person. So congratulations.
Thank you. I was very, very nervous, but I think I've come out of that quite well.
Now, Robin, most important part of all, of course, where can we find you, please? How do my listeners come and hunt you down?
I'm on all the big socials, Facebook, Instagram, MySpace, Bebo, Club Penguin.
Amazon, browsing for product friends.
Just let me know and I'll give you my password and you can go through it. So I am Robin J. Morgan, the letter, on Instagram and Facebook, and then Robin J-A-Y Morgan on Twitter, because there is one person who has that, who looks a bit like me and once got me cancelled from a gig in Edinburgh because he replied to the sort of the running order saying, nah, I can't make it, and they pulled me off the bill.
No, you're joking.
Yeah, I was really annoyed.
Great. It's annoying, but also superb trolling.
Yeah, yeah, really good work. I've sent him a message before saying, can I have your account, please? I'm going to get it.
Has he replied?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what's in it for me? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, maybe a gig in Edinburgh.
We can do set list without doing a gig before in his life.
How much can you legitimately sell your name for on Twitter, do you think?
I don't know. I reckon like people are willing to spend like thousands on getting a blue tick, aren't they? And getting verified. It's madness.
Oh, please. Oh, God. No, don't do that. That would be crazy. I'd offer him £10, see what happens.
Okay, yeah, I will.
Okay, let me know what happens when you next come on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Robin, thanks for coming. Absolute pleasure to talk to you. All the best. Lots of love. Kind regards.
Thanks. Bye.
The wonderful Robin Morgan. I really like him. What a nice, I was about to say nice boy, but that's patronising. It's true, he's very young. Thanks for listening. You know this bit, don't you? Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. All the best. And I'll be back next week with some more wonderful people. And yes, I'm keeping with the stay safe and stay well. I hope you're all doing okay. And the releasing of lockdown is going okay, and you've filled your group of six with some excellent people. So yeah, I don't know what that means. Lots of love. See you soon. Bye now. It's the same always. I can't. It's the same always. I love the good of baby, and I want you for the rest of my days. GreatBigOwl.com.
Rule of three.
We're people who make funny stuff.
Talk about something funny that they love.
Because I remember as a kid thinking that's a really good old-fashioned gag, but it's also nasty.
The actual VHS, this is clearly sufficiently important to me that this went to House Moves as well.
There is that joy and that slight fear as well about who's going to say what.
Everything from Airplane to Bottom.
From When Harry Met Sally to The Muppets.
Trying is good, aiming high is good, being ridiculous and not being afraid of failure is good.
I think that joke is so fucking funny.
Again, I just think this is hysterical. It's beautiful stuff.
Rule of three from Great Big Owl.